love on you. To me, it's a great blessing. I want to ask you, if you would, this morning to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John. This is my Christmas message for you from the book of John, chapter 7. If you would, turn to verse 45, and we'll read a couple of verses there in John from chapter 7. We'll read 45 through 47. I'm going to ask you to stand with me because you're going to be sitting a long time, okay? John chapter 7, 45, 46, and 47. Jesus has just told them, the crowd, the Jews, that if any man was thirsty, all he had to do was come to him and he'd give him drink. And he said, "He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And the crowd was confused about it. Some of them said, "Surely this is the prophet." Some of them said, "Surely this is the Christ." But for whatever reason, those soldiers who had been sent out to arrest him could not lay hands on him. Verse 45, it says, "Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, 'Why have you not brought him?' The officers answered, 'Never men spake like this man. Never men spake like this man.'" I think that's enough, John. Those two verses right there. "Never men spake like this man." Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning, Lord, we seek above all else to glorify and honor your name. Lord, we thank you that regardless of the day in history, we thank you there was a day in history when God came down as man. We thank you that robed in flesh, you were perfect, you were sinless, you were obedient to the Father, you gave your life, and then took it up again, that we who were given birth on this earth might have a blessed hope, and that we, Father, who were born again, would have a new life in your Son, Jesus. Father, may we preach it as never before, may we embrace it as never before, may we be more urgent than we've ever been, for surely the days and hours are drawing to a close. And Father, may we be found, Lord, to be witnessing when the shout comes from the sky. We love you in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now stay in the book of John with me. And staying in that book, if you would, now bear in mind, never men spake like this man. And then turn with me to John chapter 18, I believe it is. I have it written down here. John chapter 18, and I want to begin to read at verse 28. Now, I know that Christmas is about the birth of Christ, but this is about the rebirth of all mankind who would believe. So beginning in chapter 18 at verse 28, read along with me. Jesus has been arrested. It says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. It was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, 'What accusation bring ye against this man?' They answered and said unto him, 'If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee.'" In other words, if he were not a criminal, hadn't done something wrong, he wouldn't be here. "Then said Pilate unto them, 'Take ye him and judge him according to your law.' The Jews therefore said unto him, 'It's not lawful for us to put any man to death.' That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered him, 'Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?' Pilate answered and said, 'Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?'" Sometimes when you're reading from God's word, it's not a little birdie, it's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Sometimes there's a phrase or a sentence that will capture me. And I mean just imprison me and just sweep me away. And when I read that last line in this verse, "What hast thou done? Jesus, what have you done?" I thought to myself, I cannot answer it completely, but I wish to try as we approach the Christmas celebration. What have you done? You know, Jesus could have looked at Pilate and said, "Well, Pilate, everything? Everything?" And Pilate, if he had time, may have said, "Well, sure." And Jesus could have said, "Pilate, in heaven past, I was motherless and rested on the bosom of my mother. But now on earth, now on this earth, in earth present, in the flesh, I was fatherless, resting on the bosom of my mother. No mother in heaven, but a father. And no father on earth at this time, but a mother. What have I done? He could have also said, Pilate, I moved on the face of the waters when there was chaos in creation. Pilate, I made light to oppose the darkness. Pilate, whether you know it or not, I made heaven and hell. And as far as I know, there's no neutral country down there. We're going to one of them. Pilate, I made the earth and the seas. I divided the rivers and carved out the trenches for the waters to flow into. Pilate, I threw the sun and the moon and the stars into the deep blanket of the sky and told them, you spin here and you spin there and stay in place until I tell you different. Pilate, I made the fishes and the whales and the birds and the seas and all that's living upon this earth. Pilate, I made you, man, in our own image. Pilate, I observed man's first sin, which came about because I made man and gave him a free will. And because of that sin, cast him forth from the Garden of Eden and cursed both him and the earth too, so that he might have a hard time on this earth. Pilate, this day that's approaching, the Sabbath, I created it. I made it. I ordained it. I established it. Pilate, I did not abandon him when I threw him out. I just told him that I have a plan. It wasn't an emergency session of the Trinity that met when Adam and Eve sinned. I assure you the plan was already in place. For you see, our God is an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, and an all-present God. And already the plan was in place. Yes, I cursed him and cast him out of my garden, but I did not abandon him, for I had a plan to redeem him. Pilate, I called out Abram and Sarah in their old age and told them that they would have a child of promise. Pilate, I delivered Joseph into the pit, and then out of the pit into the hands of the slave traders, and into the house of Potiphar, where he would be accused of attempted rape, and then into the jail. But Pilate, I also delivered him out of the jail, and he exchanged the chains of iron for the chains of gold and became the second ruler in the kingdom. What have I done? Pilate, for 400 years, I kept my people under the bondage of the Egyptians, and then in the fullness of time, I called a man to a burning bush out in the wilderness and sent him back to deliver my children. Pilate, when Pharaoh wouldn't listen, I sent the plague of frogs and lice and blood, and finally, to get their attention, I sent death to visit their camp, but not the land of Goshen, for it was covered by the blood. What have I done, Pilate? What have I done? I breathed in when the Israelites were at the Red Sea and the mountains were on each side and the army was behind. I breathed in and the sea upheld itself in walls, and when my children crossed over on dry ground, Pilate, I breathed out and drowned all of the hosts of Pharaoh. What have I done, Pharaoh? Why am I standing here? What have I done? Pilate, I'll tell you a little secret. I set up judges, I set up prophets, I set up priests, I set up kings to rule the heart of my people because they were so cold and so indifferent to me. And then I promised them best of all that I would give them a Savior, a Messiah, that he would come. Pilate, I left heaven's throne room. You don't really know me. I left heaven's throne room and became down here on the earth. I was born. Not in a throne room, but in an animal room. I took off divinity, Pilate, and I put on humility. Pilate, I traded the Shekinah glory of heaven for the torchlights of the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers that were sent to arrest me. Pilate, I left holy robes and a crown for swaddling clothes wrapped around. I gave up scepter and good for nails and wood. Pilate, I counted days, and in the fullness of his time, I came as the volume of the book had declared that I would come. What have I done, Pilate? I brought hope where there was despair. I showed joy where there were only tears. I kept the promises from my Father who cannot lie. What have I done, Pilate? I made my mother. Beat that one. I made my mother, Pilate, beloved and chosen and honored among women for all time. Pilate, not only that, I made my cousin John, and I made my Aunt Elizabeth. And when my mother was approaching my Aunt Elizabeth before John was born, and I was in my mother's womb, the presence of the Holy Ghost caused John to jump in the womb of my Aunt Elizabeth. What have I done? John, I made my father well pleased. You see, I went down into the baptismal waters, and when my cousin said, or when John said that I have need to be baptized of thee, I said, suffer it to be so to fulfill all righteousness' sake. And when I came up out of the water, my father sent a dove down as a sign and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What have I done, Pilate? I have walked up to the tax table and said, follow me. I have walked up to the fishing vessels and said, come with me and I'll make you fishers of men. And I've seen men leave all they had and come and follow me. What have I done, Pilate? Tell you what I did, Pilate. I met a leper upon the road begging for bread, sores all over him, an outcast. No one would approach him and no one could touch him. And when he came to me, I made him a whole, healed, and complete man with skin as soft as a little baby. What have I done, Pilate? I forgave a man who was lowered through a roof by his friends. And when he was through the roof, I was supposed to say what they wanted me to say, but instead I said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the crippled man rose up and walked out. What have I done, Pilate? I met a man with a withered hand, and I touched it and made it whole again. Pilate, I got up from sleeping in the bottom of a ship in a storm and calmed the sea. And then when the sea was in the storm and I was on the shore, I walked across through the storm to calm the men in the boat and then the water in the sea. What have I done? There was a bleeding woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years and spent all of her living trying to get doctors to heal her. And while I was walking through the crowd, by faith and my power, she touched my robe and she was made whole. What have I done? I spoke to death on behalf of a little 12-year-old girl, Jairus' daughter, and death decided, rather than argue with me, he would turn her loose and restore her life, and he gave it back to her. I healed a Gentile lady's daughter who was possessed of an insane, devilish spirit because she pleaded, I have not the faith to do it. Pilate, what have I done? Let's see, I fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 4,000 with 7 loaves. Oh, by the way, Pilate, I met a blind man in Bethesda and touched him and healed his eyes and made him to see again. Pilate, I cast out a deaf and dumb spirit, and the man I cast it out of began to speak and to talk. Pilate, I recognize the power of government and its rightful place in men's lives simply from the inscription of a coin which said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. Pilate, I was walking in the city of Nain one day and a funeral procession met me. And the only son of a mother was lying on that funeral procession. Pilate, I walked up to that funeral procession, touched that young man, and he rolled out of there and went back to his mother that very moment. What have I done, Pilate? What have I done? I heard the cries of a blind beggar on the road. Jesus, O thou son of David, have mercy on me. O thou son of David, have mercy on me. What have I done? Pilate, I went to him and he left able to see. I healed his eyes. When Zacchaeus was greedy, I caught him up a tree and I freed him from his greed where sin no more had a hold on him. What have I done? Well, he's not here, but I warned Peter that the devil wanted to sift him like wheat. But I told Peter, don't worry because I've prayed for him. And then, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, as my Father's will was being carried out, I prayed, Pilate, not my will, but thine be done. But if it's in thy power, free me from this cup that I might not endure what I'm about to endure. And yet the Father sent comforters to me, and here I am. Pilate, I allowed myself to be arrested. By the way, Pilate, that dream your wife had, that was me too. Did you ever hear such a foolish question in all of your life? What have you done? What have you done? What have you done? But what if Pilate didn't ask, what have you done? What if Pilate asked, what are you going to do? Okay, we got the resume for what you've done. What are you going to do? Jesus could have said, Pilate, I'm going to be under your authority and you're going to render a death sentence. And I'm going to be taken out and crucified. But Pilate, from that cross, I'm going to watch you wash your hands over and over and over and over trying to get the blood of an innocent man from your fingertips that'll never be removed. Pilate, I'm going to be tortured. I have the power to call 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000. But to the will of my Father, Pilate, I'm going to submit myself to man's authority. I'm going to carry my cross, but I'm going to be so weak that I'm going to need help. Pilate, I'm going to be nailed upon a tree and suffer the agonies of the price of sin for the whole world. Pilate, I'm going to watch as the prophecy of Amos comes true that I gave him in the book of Amos. And there in the book of Amos, in chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, in Amos chapter 5, verse 8, and it says this, "Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night." Remember what happened in the afternoon that Christ was crucified? "That calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." And look down, if you would, now in this same chapter at verses 17 through 20. "And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light." What was the day of the Lord? The day he was crucified for my sins. "As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall." By the way, that means he thought he was safe in there. "And a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it." It is amazing to me that years, hundreds of years before Jesus was crucified, that God leaned over and said, "Amos, it's going to be dark on the day of the Lord. Write it down so that my people would see it and the prophecy will be fulfilled." And so it was. R.G. Lee, when he was 85 years old, on the idea of it being dark in the midday, he said, "I've never saw it dark in the middle of the day." Noah, however, had never seen it rain either, according to the Bible. The Sodomites had never seen fire fall from heaven either. And Jonah had never seen a whale's belly. And Balaam's donkey had never spoken. Just because something's never happened, if God says it's going to happen, you get ready and listen, because it's coming, because he's God and there is no other. He's not like man whose promises fail. He's God and his promises cannot fail, dear friends. I want you to know that. Pilate, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to die so that all that who come to me in faith and repentance and grace might live eternally. Pilate, but here's the part you need to hear. I'm going to die, but I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to die, Pilate. You're going to execute me. I'll die, but I won't stay dead. I have this crazy imagination every now and then, Brother Paul. And I think Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Friday, the bell, the phone rang in the depths of Hades. "Hello, death speaking. You still got him?" "Yep, still here." "Okay, check with you tomorrow." The next day, the phone rings again. "Death, is this you?" "Sure is." "You got him?" "Yes, sir, I got him. No problem." Hang the phone up. The third day, "Death, is this you?" "Yeah, but he's gone. He's gone. He's gone." We couldn't hold him. We couldn't hold him. "He's gone. I don't know where he is, but he's gone. The gates of hell have been shattered. The uncrossable gulf has been crossed. And by the way, Satan, the keys are gone too." "What keys? My precious keys, you know, death, hell, and the grave, they're gone." I've never spent a lot of time in it, but perhaps when that moment comes, although I've been there twice, perhaps when that moment comes, I'll be afraid. But I tell you, bless God, so far the two moments I've stood that close to my Jesus in death, I haven't been afraid. It was almost as if when it didn't happen, it was almost as if there was disappointment. Really? You know, Brother Kevin, a friend of mine, made a remark several years ago I've never forgotten. He said, I don't know how many people, he said, Baptists have a tendency to want to pray people out of heaven. Aren't we? Isn't that what we always ask for? Lord, make him well. Lord, restore him. Lord, make him better. Lord, heal him. Let me tell you something. The greatest healing in the world happens when the last breath moves from the body of a born-again believer and the Lord Jesus himself lifts them into glory. And now that's healing. See, that doesn't have to be redone. You don't have to stay on chemo every day. You don't need Flomax or any other kind of max. You have Jesus. And when you have Jesus, it's all over. It's all done. It's finished. So don't pray me out of heaven. Ask God not to let me hurt. Don't pray me out of heaven. Lord, keep him till he's more useless than he is now, but don't pray me out of heaven. And don't weep for me when I'm gone. That's so hard to do, isn't it? When somebody you love and you're standing there and your tears are pouring into the ground, and yet the Bible says we're supposed to weep at birth and rejoice at death. Let's try to practice a little bit of heaven. So I'm not going to stay there. By the way, Pilate, old Satan has some captives down there in a place called Paradise. You ask me what I'm going to do, Pilate? I'm going to set them free, every one of them, and deliver them to the Father. I'm going to preach. And Pilate could have said, what's the message? I am hath sent me, and I am is what my name is. Come and go with me. And they are going to go. When I leave this earth, Mr. Pilate, I'm not going to leave my church helpless and weak. I'm going to send a greater than me, Comforter. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Boy, Baptists get nervous when you say ghost instead of spirit, don't you? The Holy Ghost is coming. And when he comes, he's going to do things that I've not done. He's going to empower the church, and it's going to spread. And Pilate, when I come for my bride, all those that have passed from this life to the next whose bodies lie moldering in the grave, I'm going to shout. And they're going to rise. And I'm bringing their souls with me. And somehow or another up in the air, as old Calvin says, they're going to be transmogrified. Put back together. Never again to be separate or separated. Pilate, today I have news for you. I'm standing before you to be judged. But oh, buddy, listen to me. There is coming a day in eternity future when I'm going to be the one seated upon the great white throne. And sir, you are going to kneel before that throne and say, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I deserve hell, and that's where I'm going. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Pilate, I can be silent here and not have to say a word. But when you get before me, you're going to speak whether you want to or not. You're going to confess, you're going to profess, and then I'm going to dismiss you. It's going to be that simple. Pilate, my Father has delivered me here, not your Roman soldiers. Pilate, my love for the children of the earth has put these bonds upon me. Pilate, the sins from Adam all the way to the last man that will be born before the rapture is what will cause the stripes and the blood stains upon my back as I stand here before you. Pilate, I know you have some power, but I need to lay this on you, old man. I have all power. For all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Today, just with these few thoughts, I don't see how anyone could turn Jesus away. You see, one day, those who have laughed at Jesus is going to laugh at them. Now, see, you don't have that image. You've been taught this goody-two-shoes image where it's just love, 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 and there's no wrath, no anger, no punishment. We're all going to get along. It's just going to be chocolate and roses. Read your Bible and see what God says about it. God said that in their day of calamity, he would laugh at them. Read your Bible. Well, that's not the God I serve. Well, it's the one I serve because it's the only one there is. Those are his words. What I don't understand is how people today can be, you know, it would be better, it seems to me like, as for we as Christian witnesses, if we could separate the professors from the possessors. If we just knew the difference between the possessors and the professors, because sometimes it's hard to tell. They profess Christ on Sunday, but they don't seem to possess him the other 6 days of the week. They possess Christ in prayer meeting, but they don't, or profess him, but they don't seem to possess him when they're found somewhere else on Wednesday nights or Saturday nights or Friday. Brother Robert, you're meddling. Yeah, and I get paid for it too, in case you're wondering. How can you despise, as R.G. Lee said, an ocean in a cup? And that's what the body of Christ on earth held, an ocean in a cup. God in flesh. I think it would be as easy to pour the ocean in a cup and have it not run over as it would be for God to be robed in sinful flesh like you and I. But you want to know something even more difficult than that? That Jesus became sin for us. He didn't just bear the weight of it. Read your Bible. The Bible says he became sin in the body, in the flesh, to be punished for sin, so that you and I would not have to be punished for sin. I don't understand how you can walk through the valley of the Rose of Sharon and not smell the roses and the fragrance. I simply don't get it. It's beyond me. How can you refuse someone who never did anything but good, who only gave love, and who is the only religious leader in the world that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." No other religion says, "Come." Turn to Revelation, the very last chapter, and it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.'" Jesus said, "Come." I came, and because I came, it's our duty and responsibility to tell the world, "You come to Jesus now, before it's too late." George Peabody was at Charles Reed's home, and Charles's son came to his dad carrying the Bible, taking it to him. And Mr. Peabody said, "Ah, my boy, you carry the Bible now, but the time is coming you're going to find the Bible must carry you." Folks, at the end of the way, I have complete confidence that my Bible will carry me, not just through the pain of death, but eternally into the heavens where my Lord and Savior is. I believe this all my heart. If it didn't, I'd just quit. I'd just quit. I wouldn't put up with another moment. I'd just say, "You know what? I'm through. I quit. That's enough." But because I believe, I don't even have enough sense to know when to quit. I don't. There's a fervency. The gentleman at the radio station, when I was being interviewed, he said to me, he says, "Brother Arvin," he said, "no." He said, "Pastor," he said, "you get kind of wrought up sometime." You must be playing the wrong CD. That can't be me. Let me ask you a question. If we can get excited about things that's going on in the world, you don't think we can get excited about the Son of God coming down to earth, conquering death, hell, and the grave, going back to heaven, delivering the captives, and leaving the promise, "I will come back for you"? And that's not exciting? And you can't have passion about that? Seeing a man's life completely turned upside down by Jesus Christ and the old drunkard becoming the son and child of God? Seeing an old, country and western trying to be, want to be saved and called into the ministry, and somehow or another be faithful enough where I get to pastor a church like this, and you think there's no passion or there shouldn't be any passion or joy in it? Now, I didn't tell all them that on the radio. I saved that for you, okay? But that's what we ought to have, a little passion. I want a little feeling. I had enough college professors in political science to drive me nuts. I promised I would never preach like they taught in class. Monosyllabic. They didn't care. They were tenured. It didn't matter. Just roll and roll and roll and roll and roll. Just make me, never mind. But it was bad. And I don't want to be that person. The greatest question, though, is not, "Jesus, what have you done?" The greatest question is to you, "What have you done with Jesus?" See, that's the real question. Because on that question and that question alone hinges your eternity. It does. You can deny it all you want to. Truth is truth. It doesn't matter how many times you call truth a lie, it's still the truth. You know it? It doesn't matter how many times you call the truth a lie. If it ever was truth, it's still truth. It's still truth. And the truth is this: without repentance, without conviction, without faith, without confession, you're without Christ. And without being born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why am I excited? I'm saved. Why do I get loud? I'm happy about it. Why am I so fervent about it? Because I want you to be happy about it. I don't want to take a bunch of folks into heaven and say, "Yeah, he was our pastor." Which one? The quiet one over there in the corner. No. You know, the old loud shouting one. You know why? Because he believed. He was convinced that people would listen to the Spirit of God in him. Are you saved this morning? You want to know how to have the best Christmas in the world? You ain't never had Christmas till you've been saved.
Amen.
Amen? You've never had Easter till you've been saved. And then you can have it. And you've never had eternal life until you're saved. Never. And you can have until you're saved. Thank you for listening to me this morning. It is my hope and prayer that if you're not saved, you will be. Not by my words, but by God's Holy Spirit drawing you this morning to Christ. May His Spirit seek you out. May He find you. If you think you've been saved, did your life change? Because if your life didn't change, there's a real good chance you didn't change, neither internally nor externally. How do I know I've been saved? I'm changed. That's how I know. I was a duck, and now I've soared with the eagles. That's what makes the difference. When we're saved, we're changed. People shouldn't have to ask, how do I know I'm saved? You're born again. You're a new creature in Christ. Live like it, speak like it, talk like it, walk like it. Walk the walk as well as talk the talk. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and praise. Don't look at Sunday as a day of drudgery. Well, I gotta go to church. Saturday night, I tell Pat, I get to go to church in the morning. I get to preach tomorrow. Yeah, right, Pat. I get to preach tomorrow. Sometimes I don't know what in the world's gonna happen, but I get to preach tomorrow. But isn't that what it's all about, trusting God for it anyway and not yourself? I think it is. If there's a decision you need to make, make it. If there's a decision you've not made and you haven't followed through, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make good on it. Make good on it. Come through with it. And let the, what have I done? Pilate said, what have you done? Pilate could have said, what will you do? But I'm asking you, what have you done? And what will you do at this very moment as we give an invitation to Him this morning? Would you stand with us, please, as